Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, and do we have a show lined up for everybody today. You're here with Scott Shepard and Brad Wright. The Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Micromat, makers of Tech Tool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X. You can check them out at micromat.com. We'll also have them on the show later talking about the brand new version of Tech Tool Pro for universal binaries and what they had to go through to make the stuff work on a Intel-based system. Cool stuff there. DVD-XDV, the software, if you have content that's on an MPEG-2 that's a DVD and you want to pull it off and bring it into another application to view it, to modify it, to add it, to do whatever you want, check them out at DVDXDV.com. MCE Technologies, the place to get a brand new PowerBook, MacBook Pro, actually, not a PowerBook. What am I saying?
Yeah, there are no more PowerBooks.
Well, there's still, you can still buy them from Apple.
Yeah, yeah.
On the recycled or refresh program or something.
Oh, yeah.
I still want a 12. Either
way.
Yeah,
you know, you just never know. You got Photoshop, you got some old stuff, you got to have it.
Talking about that real quick, you know, they did some tests that, you know, they say that you can't run Final Cut Studio on a MacBook, right?
Yeah.
You can, and they ran some tests. There was a website that ran some tests on this stuff.
Uh-huh.
We'll talk about it in a segment here later. Dude, it's almost identical to a MacBook Pro.
Oh, really?
You wouldn't think so with the graphics processor.
Yeah.
Final Cut rips, dude.
Oh, that's great.
So that's pretty interesting there. So you can even get a MacBook, whatever. Check them out, mcetech.com. And our media partners of Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine. You can check them out at popphoto.com. Their brand new website is up and running, and it rocks. American Photo at americanphoto.com. Creative Pro, the place for the creative professional. You can check them out at creativepro.com. Mac Update at macupdate.com. The official printers of the Inside Mac radio program at printingforless.com. And the Digital Production Buzz Show Wednesday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. with the Digital Production Buzzmeister, Philip Hodges at digitalproductionbuzz.com. So, Brad, how are you?
Oh, doing great. You know, I had went over to Big Sur yesterday. Nice out there on the coast. It was a nice 60 degrees, a little bit of fog. Beautiful. Just gorgeous.
And you
there.
Just went out there to hang out, cool down, because I know you live in a part of the country here that gets very warm in the valley.
No, actually, I was shooting video. So I was going back to shoot some video, try to get some video shots. It was nice. You know, it was hot. It was like 103 in the valley. And as soon as you get over the hill, it was about 70 degrees and just beautiful. So yeah, about 30-degree difference.
Now, you just went out and shot some video just to have fun, some footage, B-roll.
Get some footage. It's beautiful out there. Big Sur. I mean, it's probably one of the best places in probably the world for shots of just ocean and gigantic cliffs. It's something else. I mean, you really get your money's worth when you drive down there and bring a camera. It's beautiful.
It is. It is very scenic.
Yes. It's
very cool.
It's totally amazing.
Yeah, we got a pretty nice lineup today on today's Inside Mac radio program, too.
All right.
We do. We have Philip Hodges in the next segment. We're going to talk about the Digital Production Post news of the week. Production, post-production, all the kind of cool stuff there. Then we're going to have Andy Shallow doing the Mac design out-of-the-box tip. We're going to talk about Contribute, a very cool piece of software from Macromedia that's now Adobe that lets you set up templates on your website. And then people can actually use the template on the server. And someone that has no experience at all with any kind of web work can go and update a website or a web page by just going and logging on to a deal.
Oh, yeah.
Using the Contribute software, there's a template. They put in the name of the story, sort of like a blog deal.
Yeah.
But it's not really a blog.
It's not a blog. It actually allows people, like third parties, to go and write content for your websites.
Yeah, it's a content management type gig. So we're going to talk about Contribute and how he uses it with some of his clients and how it works out. So, you know, you don't have to pay. Once you pay your designer to do your web stuff, people can update it. So let's say if you're a restaurant, you want to update the wine list.
Yeah.
You don't got to have some code head coming and do all this HTML. You can just update this text and hit publish. It's done.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about Contribute. That's part of the whole Adobe gig. Now we're going to have Sam Levin on talking about his cool Mac picks. We're going to have Bryn Muth on, the editor of How Magazine. And they just had the How Design Conference last week in Las Vegas. We're going to talk about How Magazine, how they do stuff with designers and all that kind of cool stuff. Then we're going to have Victor Marks on from Miglia talking about the TV Mini High Def.
Oh, that's nice.
Really cool stuff there. Second hour, we're going to have Lorene Romero on talking about the South Jersey donation program for user groups. We're going to have Tunter Dance on from Inside Mac Games and Kristen Pickman from Micromat talking about Tech Tool Pro Universal Binaries.
All right.
Such a nice, fine line Mac-up of goodies. You're listening to Inside Mac. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD-XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD-XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Macintosh for the new millennium.
This
is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now
at 800-490-0058
or email us
at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X, and now Universal Binary, so you can fix all the little happy troubles on your Intel-based Mac. If your hard drive gets unhappy and sick, you can fix it.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
A little spoonful of, TechTool Pro, and it's all good.
Well, if you buy the extended warranties for the Macintosh, the ones the Apple cares, that Apple sells, they give you TechTool Pro.
Yeah.
And so without having that on Intel, you have to have it on Intel. They're shipping Intel. I mean, that's a great thing.
Yeah.
You need those things.
You do. You know, it's a definite thing that, if you're going to use this type of... this type of gig, then
you're gonna get serious about it. Yeah, you need it. You need some repair tools.
Yeah,
stuff to keep your Mac happy and running.
That's right. Cool stuff there. So right now we are here with Philip Hodgetts, our digital production buzzmeister. How are we doing, Philip?
Scott, I have had a great afternoon. There's one thing that you'd love to do on a Saturday is to get out in Santa Monica and look at some cine gear at Cine Gear Expo.
I know. I'm so bummed that I didn't get to go to Cine Gear Expo.
Monica, there's a beautiful beach out there, and you're looking at gear.
Of course. What beach? Ryan, you've seen me. You see my suntan, my moonlight tan. No, Cine Gear Expo is bigger this year than it was last year by, I think, a good margin. Maybe things are just a little closer together, but it seems to me like there's a lot bigger, a lot more people exhibiting. But I can pretty much sum it up in four words: power, lights, camera lenses, and support. And that's what it is. That's pretty much what Cine Gear Expo is. There's so many different lighting ways to light it, so many different ways to power it, so many different ways to hold the camera and move it. Some great cranes. I love looking at those huge automated cranes that can go right down low. And one of them was showing a whole circle. They were just going round and round somebody using just the crane.
Wow.
And round and round a ball down a ground level. And just amazing watching the crane extend out and slide across. Just very cool stuff. Because I'm a geek, so I get taken with this. Anybody who's in Los Angeles has got about 2 hours left to get down there. It's open till 5:00.
Well, is there anything new on lights that you saw that was really pretty cool? I mean, we've seen a lot of technology advances in cameras, but have lights gotten a lot better?
All three types of lights. There's old standbys of incandescent and discharge light sources that have been with us for a while. But there was quite a few new LED sources, light panel and Xylite. The Xylite one is very cool. It's tiny. It's only about an inch square and sits on the top of your camera, but you can dial in pretty much any color.
I love that light, but it's a grand.
Yeah, well,
you got to pay to play.
That's it right.
It runs off a little watch battery for like 6 years. Amazingly
and,
low power.
You know, of course, during the week, moving away from Cine Gear Expo, but during the week, Apple released Shake 4.11 Universal.
Yeah. So you pay about one-tenth the price. about an eighth the price, somewhere in there.
You know what is so interesting about this, Philip, is they released Shake, the new version, is only $4.99.
Yeah.
But they also killed all their service contracts for Shake going forward with existing customers. So does that tell me that maybe there's something hot and fresh and new in the oven?
Rumors would have it that something fresh and new is going to be in the oven for about 2008.
Aha. So here's the deal, is we get everybody into node-based compositing. Just throw away everything else and just go right to Shake, the stuff they use at Lucas.
That's right. But of course, you can use node-based compositing in Motion using Conduit from DV Garage.
Really?
Yeah, that's a new plugin that is being released shortly. But the nice thing is that it's an FX Plug plugin, which means it's accelerated on the GPU. This is the plugin architecture that Apple are rolling out across their product line. At the moment, it's only supported in Motion, but Apple have said, it's on their website somewhere, so I'm not breaking any NDA, but FX Plug will come to a future version of Final Cut Pro. So you will soon, sometime in the future, sometime between now and the time we all turn old and die, you'll be able to go into Final Cut Pro and bring in a conduit, which is an FX plug-in, and do real-time compositing in a node-based compositing tree. Isn't that cool?
That is cool. Yeah. Shake really has been the standard for doing compositing and doing really a lot of special effects type work. In things other than just effect shots, I mean, for titles and things, and just getting...
Do we get to call Shake now that low cost plugin for Final Cut Pro?
Yeah,
I want to go out and get a copy. I just think that's a cool piece of software.
I think many people do that because it's $4.99. It's very hard not to want to have a copy because it is a great application, and if you can get your head around the node based model, which I find very logical, but many people have problems with. Then I think it's a great thing to do. Speaking of the Final Cut Pro Studio, though, if you've got Final Cut Pro 5.1, the Studio 5.1, which is the universal version, there are some updates out for those, but this week there was a pro application update, and that's recommended for everybody who has that because it fixes a problem with uncompressed 422 color space. If you go into After Effects with a 422 uncompressed export from Final Cut, you'll get a gamma shift. And you need to get this update to get rid of the gamma shift. It's been a real problem for some people's workflow.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see a lot of producers tearing their hair out at people for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like you just open the file and suddenly your blacks are gray and not a good thing. So you can do that, and they fixed a compatibility issue in XDCAM HD, the 25 megabit per second mark, which, of course, is the same as HDV, and so it now works as if it were an HDV codec inside Final Cut, and it works properly that way.
Oh, that's good.
That is cool stuff. You know, I'm really looking to see this Node plugin from, and this is who, DV Garage?
DV Garage, yes. Actually, on Thursday night show, we talked to Alex Lindsay about that and about DVMAT Blast, and we talked a little bit about how both of those fit. And we talked a bit about the Shake Shakedown and what that's going to mean. It is going to mean that, you know, I guess all those people that pirated Shake may actually buy a copy.
Yeah, well, for $4.99, I mean, I think a lot of people are going to buy, but I think once they start using it, they're going to have to get out the manual because that's definitely.
I like the whole node method myself.
I think it's completely logical, but it's still, you know, it's a complex piece of software.
Well, it's got lots of nodes. The nodes don't do things for you automatically, like you get filters in Final Cut or filters in After Effects. You know, you basically have pre-programmed effects, whereas with node-based, you basically have to know the math and what you want to do in multiply and demultiply and, you know, actually bringing something in and bringing something out. We don't have those simple metaphors that, you know, the editing applications do of importing and exporting. You actually have to add a node for import and add a node for export.
Yeah, but the real advantage of it is that this is going to expand Shake into something that goes into the prosumer market. I mean, it goes into the whole Final Cut economy, and... And so there's probably going to be a lot more resources out there once that's finished.
All the training people are starting their screen capture programs as we talk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, another Snaps Pro
movie.
Lots of
books and everything, yeah.
And you can catch more Buzz on a Thursday night, 6 to 7 p.m. You can catch us live and join the live chat. Or, of course, afterwards you can catch it in the podcast, which is where most of people do.
How cool. Thank you so much, Philip. That was Philip Hodges, the Digital Production Buzzmeister. You can find out more information, like he said, at digitalproductionbuzz.com. You're here with Scott Shepard and Brad Wright. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up, Andy Shallot and his Mac Design Out of the Box Tip of the Week.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying? Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Momentum for your Macintosh.
Scott Shepard
is inside Mac.
record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by DVD XDV. If you have content that was created and stuck onto a DVD that is now recorded as MPEG-2, or let's say you recorded some DVDs off your Pioneer Home Recorder off the TV, bring the thing into your Mac, use DVDXDV, extract that content, do what you want with it. It's cool stuff. You can check it out at DVDXDV.com. Right now we're here with Andy Schell, the author of the Mac Design Out of the Box book, and he has his graphic tick of the week, and I think we're going to talk about a very cool Macromedia / Adobe product.
That's right. Contribute. How are you guys?
Hey, good. How are you, Andy?
We want to talk about Contribute. Contribute is one of those extra applications. It's really like a client application that goes along with the Macromedia Studio for designing for the web. As a small designer, I really dig designing, but I don't necessarily dig updating things. So when my clients come to me and they need updates, I charge them a lot of money for it. And if they want to avoid being charged, what I usually do is I set up my websites so that they can use Contribute and do their own updates without screwing up my design. Because if you know in Dreamweaver, you can set up your, if you're doing it correctly, you're setting up templates for your web pages. And you're setting them up so that certain things are locked out and other things you can change. And Contribute, which is designed with Dreamweaver, it's sort of a web dev application with a check-in and a check-out. It allows users, clients, to upload content, pictures, Word documents, Excel files, right into the web pages. They can edit them, they can look at them, preview them, and then they can publish them themselves. So it saves them a lot of hassle. They don't have to know any HTML. They really don't have to know design, because if we've done our job right, the whole page is designed correctly with just the spaces for them to put things up. And it's also pretty cheap. I think it's $79.
Oh, that's a pretty good bargain
for clients. So yeah. What I do is, if they want me to buy it, of course I'll tag on a few bucks. But otherwise, I just tell them buy Contribute. I will set up your web page so that it works with Contribute, and they are just so happy because they all think that they've got power. Now you've empowered your clients. It's a great thing for a small design shop too. There's another product that they've just come out with called Contribute Publishing Server, which is a little bit nicer because it's the same sort of thing. It's a server application, though, and what it allows you to do is have a number of seats, and it controls the whole thing so that you can administrate. For instance, you have an online newspaper or something, and you want people to upload things, not sort of like a blog, but with more editorial aspects to it, and you can actually update and administer things through different users, through different seats, and this thing will publish it, again, just like Contribute. The interface is real easy, and this one is also pretty cheap. I think it's $89 for a seat. So that's not bad. So if you've got, you get six people who are writing for you, they all send it up, the editor checks it, and then he goes live with it.
So they don't actually...
And it's all part of the Macromedia suite. Scott and I were talking about it for some other application, and I recommended this because I think it's a great way of getting around the tedium of doing updates all the time for people. Let them empower your clients. Let them do what they can. You can drag Word documents if you do your styles right in this thing. It's great because you can actually just set your styles to the same style names that you have in Dreamweaver. In your CSS styles, if you rename your Microsoft Word documents with those styles, you drag and drop your Word docs into the pages, and it automatically populates them with the correct style.
So they don't actually need to go out and buy the whole Dreamweaver package. They can just get Contribute, and...
That's the idea.
Oh, that's
I try to keep my clients away from doing the Dreamweaver stuff. They don't want to know this. They don't want to know HTML. They just want to be able to take something, some update, some news, and they update it directly on their own, and I don't have to fiddle with it. And this is the easiest way for them to do it.
Cool stuff. Andy, thank you so much. How do we get more information on Andy Schell and the Mac Design Out of the Box tips and books?
You can always go to shallot.com and find me there.
Cool. Thank you so much. That was Andy Schell. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up, Sam Levin and his cool Mac picks.
Consulting is a new service that offers troubleshooting, training, advice, and technical support to Mac users. Our expert technicians will resolve your Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively. We guarantee it. To find out more, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408-627-7577. My name is Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis, and I approved, wrote, and produced this message.
Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world. This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show brought to you by MCE Technologies. You want to get a brand new MacBook, MacBook Pro, Super Drive for your old PowerBook, G4, G5, you name it. They got everything in MCE Tech. These guys rock. Check them out at mcetech.com. Right now, we're here with Sam Levin, the purveyor of cool Mac picks. How you doing, Sammy?
Oh, man, Scott, I am doing great. Speaking of MC, I've got their Gigabyte chip in my new MacBook Pro, and it smokes. It just, I mean, not literally, of course, but it is a fantastic product. Of course, I recommend 2 gigs for any MacBook or MacBook Pro, but there's a shameless plug. So listen, guys, we've got some fun news for you. Today, I've been playing around, well, actually last week, with a awesome speaker called the Audio Engine 5. Now, Scott, have you heard of this company yet called Audio Engine?
Nope.
Okay. It's called AudioEngineUSA.com. So that's how you get to the website. They've been featured in Playlist and Macworld and our friends, you know, Dan Frakes, and they've talked about them and this and that over the last couple of weeks, but I ran into them about a few months ago, and I saw them and heard about them. This speaker is a pair of speakers. It's a laminate. It comes complete with a dock, which is a USB dock. That means that you could power any USB device. So an iPod you could power. You can power anything that's USB. It's not a true dock, but it's a USB port. Also, on the back, Scott, it's got an area for the Airport Express to plug into. So you could stream all of your AirTunes to this speaker system. It's fantastic. It's retailed at $349 for the pair. It comes complete with everything you need to plug in an iPod. You plug in your iPod with a line-in jack, which comes with the unit, or any type of MP3 device, but the sound is truly exceptional. I'm not kidding when I say this, that it's absolutely grade A. You've got to try it out. It's called Audio Engine 5 from AudioEngineUSA.com. It's available online right now, so they're not in stores, but you can buy them if you go to their website. It's a great website. Being an audio guy, these are like monitor speakers, Scott.
Wow. And we'll have to look at that stuff. That's pretty cool. Yeah, you know what else I saw this week that looks like it rocks? And we've got this guy booked on the show here. But have you seen the new device called Rover TV?
Yeah, I heard about it. I didn't see it.
It's a little thing that's like, what size is it? I don't know.
A stick of gum, pack of gum.
About as thick as a pack of gum. And the thing's like 4 by 4 inches.
It's like bigger than an iPod.
Yeah, I've heard about it, but, you know, for audio, you guys are huge audio, and I know you're video, Brad, as well, but still, for the money, you cannot beat. I'm pretty sure they're manufactured in China, but they're absolutely gorgeous. They're white. I believe they're going to make the identical version in black, and the word is that I think they might make them self-powered, but right now, they come with one wire, like a monster cable, so you could plug it in and immediately you're up and running in less than 30 seconds. I highly recommend this for anyone that is an audiophile, especially iPod freaks such as myself. So check it out today. It's AudioEngineUSA.com. A lot more cool stuff to come in the next few weeks with iPod goodies, some stuff from Logitech. I know Scott wants. What's that thing, Scott?
Ethernet dock, I think he's still looking at.
Yeah, I still haven't seen a dock. You know, I was supposed to get this thing from Griffin. I haven't seen anything. The guys at DLO got one now. I want to see this Griffin deal. I want to see a dock.
Not out yet.
I want to see a dock.
Tune Center.
I want to see a dock that displays this stuff on TV.
Right, you'll see it. Give me about 3 weeks, you'll see Griffins.
Yeah, I'm going to see the one from DLO. I got to call Andrew. I want to see if this thing is really real or just a figment of someone's imagination.
All right.
Cool stuff there. Thank you, Sam. That was Sam Levin and his Cool Mac Picks. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. Next up here, we're going to have Bryn Muth on, the editor of How Magazine.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution. What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Informal.
Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by our partners, Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine. If you want to get the best publication for digital imaging, this is the place to go. You can check them out at popphoto.com. Right now we're joined by Bryn Muth. She is the editor of How Magazine. They just had a brand new, very cool conference. Not brand new, but it was new this year where it was. In Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay, they had the How Design Conference. Bryn, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thanks so much for inviting me to join you.
Thank you. Now tell us, you just had the How Design Conference in Las Vegas last week. Tell us how it went.
Oh my gosh. It was really tremendous. It was the 16th year that we've hosted the conference, and it was actually our second year in a row to sell out. So we had about 4,000 creative professionals flocking to the Mandalay Bay for about 4 days worth of inspiration and a little fun and probably some gambling on the side. But it was really tremendous. The conference has grown from just a couple hundred attendees and a handful of speakers to now I think the largest annual gathering of graphic designers in the country. So it was very cool this year.
So give us a little background on How Magazine. This is a magazine that's published 6 times a year, but give us our listeners a little background on what How is about and what do you guys actually get into.
Sure, absolutely. Well, my little elevator speech about How is that we're a publication, creativity and business magazine for people in graphic design, advertising, and other creative fields. So in addition to the magazine, we have a pretty robust website at howdesign.com that has lots of content about business, marketing, staying creative. There's a job bank and a really active forum as well. And we publish a line of How books that cover pretty much a range of topics related to graphic design and creativity and so forth. And then we have the events, which, of course, the conference is our big one. And we've got a couple of smaller events for principals and owners of graphic design studios. And a new thing coming up this fall that's actually for managers who run corporate creative departments. That's a growing segment of our audience and I think a big trend in design right now.
Tell us about that.
Well, it's I think the whole notion of a corporation or an organization bringing on its own creative staff tends to be a pretty cyclical thing. A couple of years ago, companies were farming out design and marketing communications work. And now, from what we can tell, there's a trend of bringing that more in-house. Companies are hiring their own creative staff. And for the magazine, that's been a real focus of our editorial content for a couple of years now. And our conference attendance is probably just over half in-house people. And so we're seeing a lot of, you know, people that work for Starbucks and for Target and for Crayola and also for, you know, the local community college and the local utility and so forth. It's a really growing group right now.
Oh, so actually there's quite a bit of hiring going on now versus sort of outsourcing. There's more internalization hiring.
That's be the trend that we're seeing. I don't have actual hiring stats. I do know we partner with an organization called the Creative Group, and they've been watching the job market for quite a while, and they're seeing a bit of an uptick in hiring across the board. But from what we can tell just by looking at the magazine's readership and our conference attendance, there seems to be more of these folks out there that are working in corporate environments.
What the conference and the book itself, do you guys specifically focus on design stuff like just Photoshop or just InDesign or Go Live or Dreamweaver? I mean, how much does this, do you spread across the whole design industry when it comes to actual design stuff?
Well, we actually, our primary focus is print and web design. You know, certainly InDesign, all of the Adobe products, Quark, those are our, you know, big programs that our readership uses every day. I mean, this is, we're definitely a Mac audience for sure. And I think it's interesting to see now kind of where the design field is headed. A couple of years ago, certainly web design was the next big thing. And now I think creative professionals are starting to look at PDAs, cell phones, kiosks, kind of other means of delivering content and thinking about, well, what kind of tools do I need? What kind of programs do I need to learn in order to stay really ahead of the game?
So sort of the growth of design has moved from the, you know, computer screen now to really small screens.
That's what we're seeing. I had a conversation with some folks at Adobe not long ago, and they were really talking about, you know, the looking at this kind of next generation of media as a big growth field. And certainly I think you'll see over the next couple of years, if that comes to pass, creative people and designers having to learn a whole new skill set, just like they did in making the transition from print design to web design, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. You know, but that said, I think, you know, the whole notion of print going away is not going to happen. We're seeing actually in print work right now almost an anti-digital look. The whole aesthetic is very much letterpress printed and screen printing and kind of a return to the craft of graphic design and printing. So it's a really interesting dichotomy in the field right now, I think.
Wow. Now tell me, the new HAL conference next year is going to be Atlanta. You guys are moving from Las Vegas.
Absolutely.
Do you move around every year? How's that sort of work out?
We do. We actually try to kind of locate the conference in on the East Coast, in the Midwest, and on the West Coast, and kind of rotate it a little bit so that it's pretty accessible for everybody. Atlanta is, we're going back to Atlanta next year. We were there 6 years ago, and that was the location where the conference really first started to grow and attract a bigger audience and more energy. So we're pretty psyched to get back there. It's an easy place for people to get to, certainly, but there's a really vibrant creative community there and a lot of design schools in the area, which feeds tons of energy into the event.
Now, tell me, you guys also publish a couple other magazines besides the HAL magazine.
We do, actually. Our parent company, FNW Publications, also publishes Print Magazine. And Print and HAL actually have a long-standing relationship. HAL was a spinoff of Print 21 years ago, and so the two are now kind of back under the same umbrella. And the company also publishes ID Magazine, which really covers product design and that role in culture and society. So we've got a little trifecta of design magazines in our portfolio.
Let's talk about what's on the HAL website, the HAL
Sure.
design website, because I know there's a lot of content on your website,
right, absolutely,
besides what's in the magazine.
Well, it actually supplements very well what's in the magazine. One of the biggest features on howdesign.com is actually our forum, which gets an incredible amount of traffic and is a really vibrant, creative community. People go there and, you know, post business dilemmas that they're facing, client issues. They post a lot of work for critique from other creative professionals. And that tends to be a pretty great vibe. Actually, a lot of those folks met in person at the conference in Vegas last week, which was really cool to see. But in addition to that, we've got there's a job bank, and there's a lot of really deep resources, lists of links, and paper and stock photography and software suppliers and so forth, and a lot of really great marketing, business management, and creativity advice on there as well.
Wow, that's a very cool stuff. Now, how do you get the magazine? It comes out 6 times a year. Tell us how we can get the magazine.
Right, absolutely. Just go to howdesign.com, and we'll be happy to set you up with a subscription.
Wow, great stuff there. Now, is there a way that we can buy back issues on the website or anything like that?
Indeed. Actually, there's a section called the How Store where you can get back issues of the magazine, and you can also get How Design books and other books as well for a nice little discount. We do also have an email newsletter that goes out every 2 weeks that's got lots of current industry news, calendar items, additional content from the magazine, and so forth. So we try and really stay connected with the design community in as many ways as possible and as frequently as possible. And so hopefully everybody's out there kind of responding to that.
Bryn, thank you so much for joining today. That was Bryn Muth. She is the editor of How Magazine and How Design Conference. Thank you so much for joining us. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio Program. You're here with Scott Chip and Brad Wright. Next up, we're going to have Victor Marks on from Miglia talking about the TV Mini High Def. This thing is so cool. We're going to talk about that. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio Program. We'll be right back.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by American Photography, American Photo Magazine, the place for high-end digital photography, even film stuff. High-end Hasselblad, 4x5 digital backs, 40 meg pictures, you name it. The coolest photographers, the greatest stuff going on. You can check it out at AmericanPhoto.com. Right now we're here with Victor Marks from Miglia. We're talking about a very cool product called a TV Mini HD. Victor, how you doing?
I'm great, Scott. Thank you for having me on.
No, thanks for coming on with us today. Now, let's talk about Miglia. You guys make some really cool products, and then we'll get into the high def deal. But look, give me a little overview, our listeners' overview of the company itself and what you guys do.
Okay, well, the company's been around for a few years. I forget the exact date of the founding, but it's a British company at root. We're just opening up here in America now. We have several TV products, both analog and high definition. We have some storage products, hard drive enclosures with drives already in them, FireWire and USB. And we also have some devices for taking analog footage off of something like a VCR or an old camcorder and bringing that into your Mac.
But this new product you have here is this TV HD Mini. This is pretty sweet. Can you tell us a little bit about this product?
Sure. It's a TV tuner that is about the size of a deck of cards, pretty close in size to the original iPod. And what it does is it takes high-definition television over the air or over cable and brings that into your computer. And once it's in your computer, we can do all the PVR, DVR, TiVo-like functions, pausing live TV, rewinding, fast-forwarding to skip through commercials, editing commercials out, and then even cool things like exporting for iPod, exporting through Toast to make a DVD or VCD of the file. Basically, once you've got it into the computer, we have the power to do anything we want with that footage.
That sounds pretty cool. So let's say, for instance, I've got a mini, a little Mac Mini connected up to my television. I can just plug in one of these mini HDs, I've got like a full. I've got everything now. I've got full system.
Pretty much. I'm doing this here at my house. What I've got is a Mac Mini. I've got the TV Mini HD, and I've also got TV Micro, which is one of the analog TV products. That way I can cover all high-definition broadcasts as well as the old analog-style broadcasts. I get the full range of all the broadcasting. And thanks to the software that we include with this, when I'm done recording programs, I can have them automatically exported for iPod. They appear in iTunes, which means that they appear in Front Row. So I've got a complete media center now.
Wow.
So tell us how this deal. Now, with the TV Mini HD, can I actually put analog signal into it, or will it only work with high-def signal?
Well, it only works with a digital signal.
Okay.
High-def is an interesting thing. There are high-def programming that are 720p, that is 1280 by 720, or 1080i, which is 1920 by 1080
uh-huh.
resolutions, very large pictures. But not every program is filmed in HD. Doesn't matter exactly, because the television stations, the local affiliates, and the cable companies are still broadcasting analog footage encoded digitally.
So it's sort of upscaled to HD.
Right. It's either upscaled to HD, or one of the things that can happen is if we're viewing the TV in a windowed mode, the window can automatically resize to scale down to the native resolution of that image.
Yeah, I love that. Hey, Victor, we're coming to a break. Why don't you hold on? We're here with Victor Marks from Meeklia. We're talking about the TV Mini High Def Digital Television on your Mac. I've been using this product for a while, and you know something? I'm pretty amazed. I'll tell you about the whole install process. We got about 30 seconds, but you know, I took it out of the box. I installed the software. Then I updated it. It was the Elgato. It uses Elgato's ITV 2.0 stuff. I plugged in the device to the little antenna. It came with a little magnetic mount antenna, okay? You can watch this in your car. Plugged in the USB 2 deal. Dude, it launched. It did a scan. I was watching KGO high def, dude, like in a minute. Crazy. Unbelievable resolution. Right on my power book.
Wow.
Pretty fun stuff, man. 250 clams, well worth the money. You're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
You are Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program, the Inside Mac Show. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, and the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Micromat, DVD, XDV, MCE Technologies, and our media partners, the popular photography magazine, American Photo Magazine, Creative Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the Digital Production Buzz of Philip Hodgetts. Cool stuff there. We've been talking about all things Mac today, and we have with us back on the line, we have Victor Marks talking about the Meeklia TV Mini High Def. So back to our high def goodies here. You need both boxes, I guess, to do analog and do digital, correct?
Yeah, we don't have a hybrid tuner at this time. You either have an analog tuner or a high definition tuner.
So you got to have a couple of wires hanging off your Mac Mini. It would be nice, sweet, just to get this all-in-one enclosure into sort of a dock you can just drop your Mac Mini into. that would be ideal to sort of, you know, one little box.
Well, we're working in that direction. We have at this time a product called TV Max that is an analog tuner in the shape of the Mac Mini.
Mm.
And so you just stack the Mini right on top of that and connect a short USB cable between the two, and away you go.
Yeah.
It's not a reach to go ahead and stick the TV Mini HD on top of it.
That would be nice.
Now, tell me about this whole thing with the way that, you know, the reception, everything with digital television now is under, it's not under NTSC, it's under this thing called ATSC. And it's the Advanced Television Systems Committee and blah, blah, blah. And there's high definition that actually is a non-encrypted format. Tell us about how all this stuff works.
Well, there are a couple of things to understand. First of all, ATSC is the means of bringing the programming in over the air. That is, using the antenna that we provide or putting up an antenna on your roof or however you want to go about doing it. And that'll get you the signal from your local affiliates, your ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and other local broadcasters. That's a good place to start. But most of us want to get more programming than those just provide, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what we can do is we can also connect to a cable line, and especially if you've got digital cable coming in, there's something called Clear QAM, which is like ATSC, except that it's the one that the cable providers adhere to. And as long as the cable provider is putting out their channels in Clear QAM and is not encrypting them, then we can go ahead and grab those channels as well. We can go ahead and get all of those kinds of stations. And what we find is that different cable providers have different things that they want to conceal from us or different things that they want to expose to us. And it's very hard to keep track of. So in one area, you might find that one cable provider does give you ESPN, and then on the other side of the country, another one doesn't.
Mm, so you'd have to contact your cable provider and say, put them in the clear or something, and find out, you know, what their policy would
be. You can do that, but it's trickier than that. Unfortunately, most of the techs that answer the phone at the cable company have no idea what's going on with that, and they're really not concerned because they don't have to support anything other than their cable set-top box they provide you with.
Mm. Is there any possibility? Because I know that there is usually like an HDMI interface out of some of the cable boxes.
Yeah, and that goes straight to the display. The HDMI is actually a cable system that actually allows for encryption between the cable box and the television so that there is no unauthorized displays connected between.
Oh, okay.
But there is a way out of this, and the way out is something that we don't address yet, but we're of course looking into. It's called cable card. And cable card is where you rent a card from the cable provider, plug it into the device, whether the device is a HDTV-ready TV set or something that we make in the future, and that cable card authorizes the device to look just like a cable box to the cable system as far as they're concerned.
Wow, that's right. Now, how much storage, if I want to use this as a DVR, how much storage do I need?
Well, you need about 8 gig for an hour for a full DV kind of, full high-def kind of program. It's a lot of storage, but we expect that most people aren't going to archive everything in full high-def as the MPEG stream that comes in over the air or comes in over the wire. We expect that most people are going to catalog these things and then export them to a smaller format like the iPod, for example.
Victor, hold on one sec. We're coming to a break. We'll be right back. You're here with Victor from Miglia.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen online tonight or the David Lawrence Show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now at 800-490-0058. Or email us
at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio Program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio Program is brought to you by Creative Pro. If you want to find the best place to get the coolest tips for the creative professional, you can go over to creativepro.com. Now, Victor, how do we find out more information about Miglia, TV Mini HD, and all the cool stuff that's going on with you guys?
Well, the first thing you can do is go to miglia.com, and there we have a list of all our products and what differentiates them from each other. And, of course, you can always go ahead, and on there is a support line. You can actually go ahead and use the support line and phone me, and I'll be happy to tell any of your listeners about all of the products.
That's great stuff. Like I said, I've been using the TV HD Mini for quite a while here, and it's an amazing product, and I actually haven't even had a chance to really spend a lot of time with it. It's been hooked up, and, you know, every couple of days I'll plug it in for a few minutes to play with it. But it's a great product. It's cool stuff. Victor, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, I wish I could have more time to tell you a few tips about it.
We'll have you back here in the next couple of weeks. We want to talk about more about this stuff, and let's talk about high-definition TV in general and about the stuff with, you know, getting the antenna stuff to work right, the other options for inputs on the TV Mini HD. So we'll have you back soon here.
Perfect. It's been really...
Oh, my. His phone died. Well, I appreciate Victor coming on. That was cool stuff. That was Victor Marks from Miglia talking about the TV Mini HD.
Yeah.
Cool stuff. We're going to have him back because, like I said, there's more stuff to talk about. We had about, you know, 9 minutes there, but really it's not enough to really
It's just scratching the surface of what really is an amazing product and a whole new way of getting your system to a media center on your Mini. It's fantastic.
It is cool. You know, they're using the Elgato software, and Elgato makes some beautiful DVR products, too. I mean, between the two companies, they're pretty neat stuff going on.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty cool stuff. But, hey, guess what? Right now we have Dina Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Daily News Program, the Inside Mac Minute. Dina, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Scott and Brad?
Hey, doing great. It's almost like you're here.
Yeah. I got to thank the guys over at KNTS for letting them use the ISDN equipment in the studio again.
Well, it's like we say here, Scott. Is it live or is it Destinex?
I think it's Destinex, or is that Ardenex?
That sounds like the man.
Live from the studios of News Talk 1220. KNTS, San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose, is Dina Orlando now with the news.
Oh, I love that live.
That sounds great.
This frustrated disc jockey hasn't been on the air in years and wants on now, one way or another.
Well, you know, the last time I heard that kind of intro was January of 2003.
Oh, that's
in
right.
Studio B.
That's right. CNET Radio in San Francisco when we were putting her to bed for the last time.
The last broadcast on CNET Radio.
I got to be the announcer, and I was always on tape, and I got to do it live that day. I've been in radio for 25 years at the time, and I was shaking because we were live, and we were going away.
Yeah.
Our last day.
That and the Woodburn.
Well, Dina's at least in my get studio, fired and he's here for you.
How nice. Thank you, Arthur.
Thank you, Arthur.
So, Dina, tell me, what's happening in the world of Macintosh?
Well, actually, a few days ago, we learned that Steve Jobs was number 5 in the Business Week's People Who Matter Most list. Now, Apple has taken 4th place in Business Week's IT Top 100 list. Apple is the only U.S. business on that chart, by the way, in the top 10, not in the whole chart. It was ranked on 4 criteria, including return on equity, revenue growth, shareholder return, and total revenue. So good news for Apple is they are continuing to top the charts. And the DRM, France approved the iTunes DRM bill, the softer version of it. Have you heard about that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. They have approved the softer one. The old law had threatened Apple's iPod and iTunes and was hailed by Apple as state-sponsored piracy. But this latest version of the law includes a loophole, and the draft law allows compatibility restrictions on music and video downloads to be decided by the copyright holders, potentially allowing Apple and others to tiptoe around the information requirement by striking deals with record labels and artists. This means that Apple and Sony Corporation can avoid having to share their Fair Play and ATRAC 3 file formats, providing they obtained permission from the artists whose music they sell. So, actually, Apple had the backing of the U.S. government as well, and it said that the companies need to protect their intellectual property.
That's a good thing. That's a great ruling. I'm glad that's all finished and done.
Yeah, well, I think France was a little worried that Apple was going to be pulling their iTunes from that country anyway, so they're like, we better do something about this. Mac Game Store on the Mac website has launched a new page where gamers can play free web-based games. Games such as Mystery Case Files, Huntsville, Fish Tycoon, and the classic Space Invaders, Asteroids, and the ever-popular Pac-Man are a few of the 15 games that are available. You will need a Java-capable browser to play the free games, such as Safari and Firefox. And more games will be added on a daily basis, so check it out. I actually did, and I'm hoping that they get Pitfall. Major fan of Pitfall myself, and I'm hoping they get that sometime soon, so I'll be checking pretty much daily.
That's cool stuff there. We're going to have Tunzer Dance on from Inside Mac Games and the Mac Game Store here later this hour.
Oh, great.
Talking about that kind of cool stuff, so we'll see if we can extract some more information out of it.
Yeah, see if we're having Pitfall.
Yeah.
Ask him. I want to know. Bias, who shipped the universal version of Peak Pro 5.2, and it's a universal version of the audio editing software for Mac OS X 10.4 on both PowerPC and Intel-based Macs. Version 5.2 utilizes a non-hardware-based method of copy protection and offer greater flexibility to customers who are interested in retaining the use of the USB ports and other peripherals. But for those of you who prefer the USB key, version 5.2 does retain the compatibility. Peak Pro 2 version from the BIOS website is free of charge. You can download it there. But the new retail editions of Peak Pro 5.2 will cost $599, and they're available through the worldwide network of authorized BIOS resellers and direct from BIOS as well.
That's cool.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Everybody's going universal binary here.
Yeah, it is. We're almost there.
Now if we have a computer that's universal binary compatible.
Oh, you mean all universal all the way across the line?
I
mean,
no, if I had one that ran universal
binary, if you actually...
Yeah, I'm still using legacy hardware.
Got to go out and get order. You know, get that order filled out and put it on the Apple Store. Yeah.
Yep,
got to go get one. Now, Sam's got one. I've got one. You're the only one that doesn't
have
one.
I'll talk about Sam's. I saw Sam's yesterday at a Canon event we went to here in the city, San Francisco.
Secret Canon
event. And he had, very... Indiana type. He had his powder coated, you know, done by Colorware.
Oh, yeah.
I'll make my comments about it later here.
Okay. It's back to Dina.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Sorry about that.
Now, I might need help on the pronunciation of this, but Tivoli sounds like an Italian word, so I think it's III, just because I'm Italian. III Digital Home Entertainment System, or is it?
I don't know. It's a goofy name, but it looks cool.
Yeah, I think it's an Italian thing. I think it's III, so I'm going to call it that. So, for those who want great surrounding music, and you want to use your iPod as an additional source, Tivoli Audio had announced the III Digital Home Entertainment System. It's fun to say. Its universal docking station can be used with all Apple iPod units, and the docking station recharges the iPod when docked, and the supplied remote control operates the functions of the iPod and the III as well. I can't stop laughing when I say that word. I apologize.
Like too many eyes.
Yeah. It plays with your tongue. It gets
Yeah. That's not good.
Anyway, it sounds like the music is coming on. But yeah, that's what I have for today. There's a lot more, but I just couldn't get to it. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Cool stuff. You can listen to Dino Orlando every day on the Inside Mac Radio feed over at iTunes. Go to Inside Mac Radio and grab it. Check on over at Mac Minute. Dina, thank you so much.
My pleasure, guys.
Arthur, thank you for the use of your radio station.
Yeah, he thanks you as well.
Oh, he ran off.
Some other thing, yeah.
Oh, well. You're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Mac Update. Do you want to get the coolest place to get all the software updates for your Macintosh? See what's new, fresh, happy for the Mac? Check them out at macupdate.com. Right now we're here with Lorene Romero from the North Coast Macintosh User Group, but she's pretty much like the queen of Mac user groups, and she has a story for us today about the South Jersey Donation Program. Hi, Lorene.
Hi, Scott.
How have you been?
Hey, I've been great. Thank you. I have the pleasure of talking to a nice man, and he is part, as you just mentioned, the South Jersey Apple User Group. What a great program they have going on. It's been going on since the early 90s for almost 15 years, and what they have is a program called Mac for Students. What their premise is they're taking some of the older machines, not archaic old, you know, the old days when we had pizza boxes, but some of the newer ones, since everybody's switching over to Intel or switching over to have portables, people are starting to donate their computers, and they're fixing them up so that they can go for students who need the support. Now, isn't that a great idea?
That is cool. It's always cool to give back.
It's absolutely. So they've got this program going on, and they've really just done a really good job. They have a core group of 6 to 12 people that work together to replace RAM and change batteries and get the computers back up and going and to make them available for different sorts of programs that somehow have students involved with them. They can either go to, say, the Ronald McDonald House, which is a great program, as we all know, after-school programs, different places that they can get the computers back into kids' hands so they can help their own education. I really want to give them a shout-out for them. The URL to find out more information about this program is sjaug.org. It stands for South Jersey Apple User Group. And the gentleman that I talked to, his name's Roger Lippincott, and great guy. He's been running this program for a really long time. He has some great team members to be able to put this all together. They've donated over 100 computers over the years. And, you know, they've also found that sometimes when people donate things that don't work, they find a way to recycle them appropriately. So this is just a great activity that a user group is coming together to be able to help the community.
Hey, Lorraine, we have about 2 minutes left. What else is going on in the world of user groups these days?
Well, I tell you, you know, considering people are always telling me, and I'm sure they tell you also, that the Mac is dead. In our group, which is located here in Northern California, typically for the last 21 years, we've hovered around 500 members. It's been good and bad days. You know, I'm finding, and I'm talking to other user group leaders, that their actual membership growth is growing. Every month when we introduce new members, I'd say 80% of them are, I'm a switcher. So the whole change that's really going on, there's a whole bunch of people that are going back to being Mac people, and a lot of them saying, I don't know why I ever left. So, you know, you're on the right track, I'm on the right track, and, you know, I hear Sammy giving, you know, description of new toys, you know, those tools that are out there, not toys. We're all doing good. The community is very strong.
So suddenly, after years of stagnation, there's suddenly a giant uptick across the entire Mac user group community of people just funneling in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know in the beginning they were really concerned that the Internet would kill user groups because now you can go on and get everything. I think people just do it so they have a sense of community and, you know, be able to get there and meet other people. We're doing our 14th annual Mac Computer Expo again this year. That's 14 years. That was in the Apple good times and bad times, and we're going to have it on October 7th. I hope that maybe we can give a little more report on a future show.
Yeah, hey, Lorraine, thank you so much for joining with us. You can check out your group at NCMUG. It's ncmug.org.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. Next up here, we're going to have Tunser Dance from Inside Mac Games talking about what's going on in the world of Macintosh gaming. A quick little report. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com.
Momentum for your Macintosh.
Scott Shepard
is Inside Mac.
Call. Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by Printing for Less, the official printers of the Inside Mac Radio show. You can find out more information about these guys at printingforless.com. Very cool ink on paper. You can give them any file. We've given them stuff that came out of Pages.
Yeah, I really like what they did. I mean, this is...
They did a nice job, man.
They did nice work. Yeah, really good stuff. Good prices, good work, and... Not like, you know, if you go down to these Kinko's or some of these other little print sites and you give them a file or something, it might come out all messed up. But you give them to Printing for Less and they'll print it exactly like it's supposed
to be.
It's
pretty cool stuff, man. Those guys rock. So, hey, check that out, printingforless.com. Right now we have Tunser Dance on. He is the CEO of Inside Mac Games. Tunser, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So tell us real quick. We got about 3.5 minutes. I just want to touch base today. You guys had a story out earlier this week that you guys are actually either downloading or linking to some cool Mac games on the web for free. And I want you to tell us about the Mac Game Store real quick. And then hopefully we can get Tunser back on more often doing actual real Mac gaming updates.
Absolutely. Well, we launched MacGameStore.com a little over a year ago. And it really was kind of out of necessity. A lot of gamers were looking for Macintosh games, and as you probably know, they can't find them. You know, especially a lot of international readers can't find Mac games, and then, you know, the Apple stores aren't everywhere. So that's kind of where the idea for MacGameStore.com, came about, and it's been doing really well for us. It's we recently sold 25,000 games, over the span of a year.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
What's the hot-selling games that you have on your site?
Well, Right now, Call of Duty 2 is one of the bigger sellers, and then Civilization 4, which is a strategy game by Aspyr Media, that's coming out sometime next week, and that's going to be a hot seller. But one of the most popular games that we have is a game called Jets and Guns. And that one is a really interesting side-scrolling game. You know, if you played games in the 80s, you'd be familiar with the genre. But it's one of those games that kind of came out of nowhere, and it's been selling just fantastic. And it's a very fun game, and it's available through our store for $19.95. And there's a free demo; you can check it out.
Pretty nice. Yeah.
Cool stuff there. So, give us a little rundown real quick on your main site, Inside Mac Games. We've got about a minute and a half.
Well, Inside Mac Games started out as a floppy disk magazine back in 1993, actually. And then we published on CD, and then in 96 we launched the website. And, you know, ever since then we've been covering news and previews and reviews, all that kind of stuff for Mac gamers. And, you know, it's been growing ever since. We also launched another site called MacGameFiles.com. You can download games and demos, shareware games, updates, all kinds of stuff. So we've kind of got a little network going of Macintosh-related stuff, Macintosh game-related stuff going on. So
that's cool stuff. Now, Tunzer, give us the addresses to the main website, Inside Mac Games, Inside Mac Files, on the Mac Game Store, so everybody can go check this out. And then we want to have you back on a regular basis actually talking about new Mac games that come out, games where we want to make you the Inside Mac game guy.
That sounds good to me.
Cool. So tell us how we get all the stuff about all your cool websites and what's going on with Tunzer.
Okay. So InsideMacGames.com is where you can find news, previews, all kinds of goodies for if you want to read up on the latest Macintosh games. MacGameFiles.com, that's where you can download demos, shareware games, all kinds of cool free stuff. And then over at MacGameStore.com, there's a lot of commercial-type games like Call of Duty 2 available, and then there's a lot of casual games, cool casual games that you can also download, buy for $19.95 or so. So lots and lots of different options for Mac gamers.
Tunzer, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to have Tunzer back here very soon talking about all the cool stuff at Mac Gaming. Tunz, thanks a lot, bud.
Thank you.
There you go. The man from InsideMacGames.com. You're listening to Inside Mac Radio Program. Next up here, Christian Pickman, Product Manager for Micromat, talking about Tech Tool Pro 4 Universal Binary.
Hi, thanks for calling. This is Tom. I'm not in right now. In fact, I'll be out most of the day. I need to go to the computer repair shop. My Mac crashed big time. There I was, working on the final version of the annual report, when boom, I crashed. I am so dead. No backup, no vacation, no job. Life sucks.
Hey Tom, this is Rich, your neighbor. Sorry to hear about your computer crash. Too bad you weren't using Tech Tool Pro. It could have fixed your drive and recovered your files in a few minutes. Go check it out at www.micromat.com. So anyway, I'm calling about some crazy kid that just drove his car through your side fence. There's a 67 Chevy sitting at the bottom of your pool. Take care.
Informal. Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio Program. This part of the Inside Mac Show is brought to you by the digital production buzz of Philip Hodges. You can check him out Thursday evenings in beautiful Burbank, California.
Yes.
6 to 7 p.m. on the web at digitalproductionbuzz.com. Right now we're here with Christian Pickman, the product manager over at Micromat, talking about a couple brand new versions of their software. They've actually gone universal binary with. It's a pretty big feat considering what the actual software does. Christian, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Scotty. How are you?
Good. So tell us, you guys make Tech Tool Pro 4, a system and disk utility for Mac OS X.
Right.
But it's now universal binary.
That's correct. Actually, we just posted a public beta of it about a week and a half ago for people to download and try out. But it is our universal binary version of Tech Tool Pro 4, which, of course, works on both PowerPC and now Intel-based Macintoshes. And we we have it working for both PowerPC and Intel, so you can test hardware no matter what chipset you may have in your Mac.
Now, was this a really difficult piece of software to port? Because, you know, a lot of guys can just go into Xcode and click a button and say, compile for Universal, and it works.
Well, it's not
but
that
I
easy.
Didn't think that tech tool would do that because it's doing such low-level hardware stuff.
That is actually correct. It's not as simple as just checking a box and saying, make my app universal, and it just works. You know, we really go under the hood of the machine, test various aspects of the chipsets, the motherboard processor, the cache, video RAM, and so forth and so on. And also just hard drives, too, you know, testing the hard drive out. It's different in how you access the hard drive on an Intel machine as opposed to a PowerPC. So a lot of work was involved, a lot of testing, internal testing was involved before we even went to our public beta.
Wow, cool stuff.
Yeah.
So tell us, is there anything new in this version of TechTool Pro that actually is different with the Universal Binary version? Did we add any new features? What's going on with the whole product?
For the most part, it's pretty much the same product as it was before under the PowerPC. Of course, it's PowerPC and Intel now. The only thing that we really changed was the disk controller test. That test kind of updated for not only Intel, of course, but also for PowerPC. We access more of the diagnostic sets that are inside the actual hard drive itself, and with, of course, we return a result of that from, you know, from.
So that's like the smart settings, and
it's kind of like smart in a way, but it's actually what the manufacturer puts in there, so it'll vary between manufacturer. Whereas smart is more of a uniform type of testing, and that's what smart is. All drive manufacturers have to follow that smart standard. Whereas this is more manufacturer specific.
Oh, so do you have a list of drives that you guys support? Or you just support
all
of them?
For the most part, as long as it's ATA, we'll support it.
Wow.
Because they all have it in there. So that's what we'll be doing with 451. That's a little bit different, of course, than what we do in 412.
Now, Chris, what about guys that are using serial ATA drives on their Macs? Does everything work now with the serial ATA stuff?
Yes, it does.
It does?
Yeah, everything works with it. Like I said, the public beta that we have out there right now works with it rather well. You know, the reports I've been getting from not only our internal beta testers, but people who actually have been public beta testing it have been very positive and very favorable.
Wow.
Can I get this on a protege?
That's something that we're actually working on. Right now we're working on getting licensing for having the Intel boot on the protege device.
Yeah, protege is this little FireWire thumb drive that you can just plug in and boot right off of.
Right. Right, and it's a great little utility. Matter of fact, I use it around here for not only just testing, of course, but just our regular office machines. If I want to do a little bit of optimization or maintenance or what have you, I just boot from my protege, and I'm ready to go. It's great, a lot faster than booting from a CD, and it's very convenient. You know, I just keep one in my pocket, and if something comes up, I just pull it out of my pocket, put it into the FireWire port, and I'm off, just like that.
Now you had mentioned something about licensing an Intel boot. Is this something that has to be done through Apple as a developer because there's something different with the boot stuff for Intel than there is for PowerPC? And
it is, yeah. It's a different flavor of Mac OS X. There's, you know, it requires the Intel version of Mac OS X to be able to boot, of course, an Intel Mac. And so, of course, we're already licensed for that for our Disk Studio product and our of course, TechTool Pro 4. Now, the one thing that we've done with TechTool Pro 4 for the next version is instead of coming on a CD, we're going to be coming on a DVD. And it's going to be our first time that we've actually shipped product on a DVD. Now, the DVD will be partitioned. One side will be the PowerPC boot side, and the other side will be, the Intel boot side. So you can have now one DVD instead of having two CDs, one being PowerPC and one Intel, but have one DVD that can actually boot either machine.
Now, would this also be possible with the Protégé, too, as well? You could have both?
That is something that we're considering.
Ah, okay, that would be sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, that is something we're considering. If we do go that route, you know, as you probably already know, the Protégé is only 1 gigabyte in size. Now, if you try to put the operating system of PowerPC and the operating system of Intel on that, there's not going to be much room, if any. So what we may have to do is we have to go to like a 2 gigabyte TechTool Protégé and have it where it's partitioned, one being for PowerPC and the other one being for Intel.
And I could see where Apple, I guess, has concerns about licensing boot stuff because, in theory, you could put Mac OS X on a Protégé and boot up a Dell.
Well, I don't think you can boot
it. No, that's a
little
harder. Let's
hope you don't have to can't boot up a Dell, but yeah.
Oh, no. It's a little harder than that.
We already have boot camp for that, Scotty.
If you want to go to
XP, yeah. The ugly world.
But think, you could take garbage hardware.
Yeah.
And if you could run Mac OS X on it, it'd be like the happiest day on the planet.
That's right.
Well, I don't know. You'd be happy. You'd be just like, you'd have beautiful software on a piece of junk hardware. It'd be horrible. Be horrible. Awful.
Oh, it's terrible. We're bad. But hey, you know, it's okay.
That's right.
Yeah. Poor heathens. So tell us about Disk Studio. You've also ported to Universal Binary Disk Studio. Tell us what Disk Studio does.
Well, Disk Studio allows the user to create additional partitions from the free space that exists on the parent partition. So in other words, if you want to make more partitions, without Disk Studio, what you would have to do is you'd have to back up all your data off the hard drive, copy it to somewhere else, go into Disk Utility, boot it from your Mac OS X install CD, and then you'd have to do the partition scheme, which is a very laborious task to do. Well, Disk Studio takes care of all those steps by allowing you to take the free space of your current existing hard drive and then make additional partitions from it without having to back up all the data from the drive and then copy it all back, reconfigure. So it's a lot easier, a lot simpler to add or end or delete partitions off your internal hard drive, for example. And like I said, we're going to make it universal binary. We already have it working on Intel. And like I said, it's great for me because it allows me to test different or like new upcoming operating systems. But all I have to do is just make a new partition, install that operating system on there to test on, and I'm ready to go.
So if you were for some reason, you were stuck in a horrible situation where you had to run Windows software on your system, on your, let's say, your MacBook Pro or something, mm-hmm. and you had to do that, this software would allow you to create a new Windows partition on there.
Well, you can create a DOS partition with it. Now, the way Boot Camp works, it creates its own partition on there. Now, once you've created a Boot Camp partition on your internal, you know, hard drive for your Intel Mac, if you try to create additional partitions, you won't be able to boot in Windows anymore. They have something with the current public beta, maybe that they'll fix in later version of Boot Camp or maybe in 10.5 when it comes out, that'll allow you to add additional partitions. But right now, as it stands, if you create an additional partition or two on a drive that has Boot Camp installed on it...
Oh, no, I mean, actually, if you were the other way, you had to do this to your...
you had to get rid of...
Add it. Suddenly your boss comes over and says, you need to run XP.
Oh, yeah. You can reinitialize the entire hard drive Windows... or, you know, FAT32, MS-DOS, if you wanted to.
Oh, no, I mean, but actually with your software, you could create a little Windows partition and then boot? Or would that be possible?
Not at this time.
Okay.
Not at this time. That's where I was going with Boot Camp. Boot Camp allows you to do that right now. We can create a Windows partition, you know, FAT32 partition. But as for the bootable side, that's typically handled by the Windows XP install.
What a horrible thought.
Bring up that little story, but that's how it's handled at this time.
Now, I have a question. I use Podlock every day. Every mm-hmm. time I update my iPod, I run Podlock. It redoes the directory structure on the iPod. Mm-hmm. Things load faster. It's cool. Are we going to be able to see Podlock as a universal binary product?
Well, right now, as you probably know, Podlock is currently discontinued at this time. We've temporarily discontinued it. We're going to come back with a new version of Podlock, probably with a new name, new interface, and a few more features added to it as well. I don't have a projected date as to when we'll have that version available, but it is certainly in the offing.
Wow. So I'll have to keep my Podlock here. It's gold now.
That's right.
I use it every day. But now here's a question for you, Chris. We only got about 40 seconds, but can I just run TechTool Pro on my iPod?
Sure,
so I don't need Podlock, then I can just run TechTool Pro, or I can actually, just run that and just fix my iPod that way, because it just shows the volume, right?
That's right, because it's an HFS Plus volume typically on your Mac.
Yep.
You can go in there, do directory maintenance on it, clean up the directory structure of your iPod, or you can do disk optimization on it as well.
I'm so happy now.
Ah, that's great.
Hey, Chris, thanks so much for joining us today, buddy.
Hey, thank you, Scott.
Cool stuff there. Like I said, you can check out more information on the universal binary versions of TechTool Pro 4 and Disk Studio over at micromat.com. Cool stuff there. And my poor Podlock is dead. But that's okay, though.
Because it's reborn again as TechTool Pro.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside
your world. This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, and we've had a pretty vast variety of stuff today.
Yes. This hasn't just been about video and digital cameras today.
No. We had a pretty nice coverage of the whole, the whole gig.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole Mac space.
We talked about from one end to the other. Yeah. Very good.
It's always fun stuff here on the Inside Mac
Show. Oh, yeah, absolutely. We covered games. We covered utilities for your hard drive with TechTool Pro. We told you how to get HD on your Macintosh. That sounds cool, because that's only about, if you think about it, if you went out and bought an HD TV, it cost you a fortune, right?
Yep.
And now with about $250, you can just plug it, it's a little device in. You got HD on your MacBook Pro, on everything, on your Mac, any Mac that you want.
It works good. I haven't tried sticking it into the cable system here yet, but I'm going to try to splice that off here maybe this weekend. And And see what that does, because I don't know if digital cable comes with the basic cable package.
Is in the clear or not? Yeah.
Is it in the clear? Do you have to buy the family package? You got to spend $100 a month, $200. What's the deal with these cable monkeys?
Well, it's
you got to keep buying, stuff to do this with.
Probably every cable company has a different policy about what shows are in the clear and what shows are going to be encrypted.
I would think the digital broadcast of the local stations and the things that come through as digital
should be in the clear.
I think are in the clear probably and are part of the basic cable package.
It should be. Yeah.
I'm going to have to try that this week.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring that little thing with me on my little trip this weekend. I'm going to plug that into my buddy's cable deal here and see what her deal does and see how that works.
Yeah. Start watching high def while you're working along on your Mac. That's a great thing.
Pretty handy to watch TV when you're working, but right now I'm getting a couple weird channels where I'm at, and I don't know.
Yeah.
If it hooks up, the cable deal could be a little better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm scared about the antenna. It's got a magnet on it the size of your hand.
Well, it's good because you can pick up magnetic media that way.
Right, you pick up hard drives
that way. Just pick them up by the magnet.
You know what works really good for? Digital videotapes.
There you go.
All my DVD tapes, I pick them up with a magnet.
There you go.
They move so cool. Oh, wait a second. That's rust on plastic. Never mind. You don't want to do that. There's a tip for
magnets.
Everybody. Here's the ignorant tip of the day. Don't pick up magnetic media with a magnet.
With a magnet. Well, it's magnetic. It's just stick, right?
I don't understand that with the magnet on the antenna. But you know something? I guess if you're cruising down the freeway, it's cool. You want to be like, Crisis, Squad 51.
that's it.
Like Desmond, our buddy Desmond.
Yep.
It's got 4,000 antennas, but his are actually screwed into the body.
Yeah.
But you can look like him, though. You can be magnetic now, magnet master.
When he's driving down the road, you probably get cancer,
That dude's pumping out thousands of watts of RF, dude. That thing, I bet you that dude's going to get, I hope not. But think about it. What if you drive around in a car with like 15 Motorola radios and they're all pumping out 15, 20, 30, 40 watts of high frequency, crap? What are you going to do?
You're dead. Take a sandwich and stick it next to it and just warm it up that way. I think it's a good way to.
Maybe that's why he has an egg poacher in the trunk. I always wondered what is that thing there for? Well, yeah, we had a cool show today. We had, of course, Philip Hodges on doing the digital post-production news. We had Andy Schell doing the Mac design out of the box tip. We had little Sammy Levin talking about some more iPod speakers. If he gets any more speakers, I think he won't even be able to store any more in his garage.
I think he's got, he's going to have to get a second garage.
Yeah, I don't know. We didn't even talk about the carbon-painted power book. We had the editor on from How Magazine and How Design Conference. Miss Moot was on. Yep, cool stuff there. You can check that out at howdesign.com. We had Victor Marks on from Miglia talking about the high-definition mini TV HD. We had Lorraine Romero on from the South Jersey Donation Program talking about all the cool stuff the user group there is doing for kids. We had Tunser Dance on from Inside Mac Games. Kristen Pickman from Micromat, the product manager over there. And the Inside Mac Show is brought to you by Micromat DVD XDV MCE Technologies, Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the Digital Production Buzz with Philip Hodges. You can find out more information about the Inside Mac Show at www.insidemac.com. Check it out. I'm Scott Shepherd. He's Brad Wright. We'll be back next week with more cool stuff about your Mac.